Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about ingratitude. Multitudes across America today have hearts that are not thankful. I believe we need to be thankful for what we have. Most Americans tend today to focus on what we do not have rather than what we have, and embracing that and celebrating that with thanksgiving to see and praise God for what he has done for us. Ladies and gentlemen, you can dial 831-0917, 831-0917. Get your telephone call directly through to the microphones in our studios so that we can answer your questions, respond to your thoughts. I'd love to hear from you. Are you thankful? Why are you thankful? What are you thankful for? You don't have to give your name. Just call in and tell us what you're thankful for, why you're thankful, and why you believe that we as Christians in particular need to be thankful. Dr. Phelps, as I look through the scripture, I've just scanned it and jotted down a couple of two or three notes in relationship to that. As we scan the scripture, though, we find that throughout the scripture, people were thankful. For example, the children of Israel sang songs of thanksgiving as they were delivered from Pharaoh's army after crossing the Red Sea in Exodus 15. With the children of Israel, they celebrate Passover as their celebration of thanksgiving for God's deliverance to them. The harvest of Pentecost, Leviticus 23, is another celebration of thanksgiving. The Feast of Tabernacles, Leviticus 23, 33 and following. The children look back at the and remembrance and thanksgiving for God's provision and God's grace upon them. And then as we look at the New Testament, Dr. Phelps, throughout the New Testament, it is replete with thankfulness and thanksgiving and the definition and direction, if you will, to be thankful. In fact, Dr. Phelps, one of my favorite texts in the New Testament about thanksgiving is found in Philippians 4, verse 5 and 6 in particular. The unit of thought goes further than that, but I'll break into that for our conversation today. Let your moderation, that is your gentleness and your graciousness, be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful, that means anxious, for nothing, but in everything, that literally means in each and everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And what is the result of that prayer with thanksgiving? And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. Dr. Phelps, I find that perhaps one of the greatest problems in America that causes people to not have peace is because there's not thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is directly correlated with a peacefulness of the heart. If we simply, wherever we are, whatever we're doing, if we simply recognize that God is the one that's on the throne, God is the one that's providing, and we need to be thankful. Dr. Phelps, you had been talking before the break. You had been talking with us about your ABCs of thanksgiving. And I believe we left off at about the N. You'd gotten through the alphabet A through M. Now, pick up at that point and share with us other thoughts on the what you call the ABCs of thanksgiving. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you again, the telephone number is 831-0917. Love to hear from you. This Thanksgiving season, are you thankful? Why are you thankful? How should we celebrate Thanksgiving as Christians? Should we celebrate Thanksgiving? Dr. Phelps, share with us further.
In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, we're commanded, in everything, give thanks.
Yes.
And so I have written the ABCs, or the alphabet of thanksgiving, that including never leaves me. That's when I stopped that before the break. God is always with us. I never walk alone, for God is with me. But he orders my steps in his word. Psalm 119, 133, the psalmist requested, order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. So whenever we acknowledge the Lord and ask him to direct our way, then he shows us how to live. And so we have the entire Bible by which God communicates his truth to us and shows us how to live and walk to please God. Another thing that I've found is a real blessing is that we can come to realize that God performs all things for us. In Psalm 57, verse 2, the psalmist said, I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performs all things for me.
Amen.
And that means we can rely upon the Lord, who is above all, for he is the Most High God. He knows how to perform all things for us. And the previous verse says that God's on my side. I can rely upon the Lord. And then another thing is the Q means he quickens me together with Christ. According to the book of Ephesians, there was a time when I was dead spiritually.
That's right.
I was not alive spiritually, but I'm made alive in Christ. He makes me alive through the work of the Spirit of God and the Word of God, making me become a child of God and being born again. So he quickens us. And then, wonderful it is, the blessing of redemption. I'm redeemed. God redeems me for his own. I'm bought with the precious blood of Christ. 1 Peter 1:18 and 19. We're redeemed from the power of sin, from the control of sin, out of the slave market of sin, to live and walk and become a part of the redeemed people of God, the family of God. Then the S means he strengthens me. Psalm 118:14 is one passage in the Old Testament. It says, the Lord is my strength and my song and has become my salvation. Also, Psalm 73, the psalmist said, whom do I have in heaven but thee? There's none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart fail, but you are the strength of my heart and my portion forever. We can make the Lord to be the strength of our life. And we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us.
Dr. Phelps, that's a choice, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a choice. An individual can make the determination, the choice that we're going to allow God to be preeminent. We're going to allow him to be on the throne in our hearts and allow him to strengthen us. I'm amazed, Dr. Phelps, at the number of people that will kind of languish in life, not realizing that by a volitional choice, they can allow Christ to be their strength. Yes. And give us the strength to carry out the task each day that he's called us to. Go ahead with your thoughts on the alphabet of Thanksgiving.
I'm so glad also about so many things that we are blessed with as Christians. And that is that God thinks of me and you. God thinks upon us. The Lord has thoughts of good things for us, and there are many passages in the Bible that tell us that this is so. One of those is in Psalm 40, verse 17, but I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinks upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. That means help me right now. Mm-hmm. Help me today.
Yes.
The Lord wants to help us. And then the children of Israel knew that the Lord thought upon them, according to Jeremiah. God had good thoughts of them, thoughts of good, not of evil, give them their expected end. And there's a song that says that when Jesus was there upon the cross, he had us in mind. So the Lord has thoughts of good things for us. Then the U means he upholds me. I need not fear, for the Lord is with me. Isaiah 41:10, God promises to uphold us, to keep us. God promises to be there to help us. I need not fear. I should not have anxiety. The Lord is my upholder. I will strengthen thee, he says, as well. Now, God values me as well.
Mm-hmm.
God saved me, keeps me. He hides me in his secret place. And the Lord thinks of us so highly. It was so that it took the coming of our Savior to lay down his life, then to save us and to make us a child of God and to save us for time and for eternity. God keeps us by his power. And we believe that God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, and God the Son are ever there to be our keeper. He keeps us and he hides us in his secret place. There are many passages in the Bible about that keeping power. One of those is found in Psalm 32, verse 7. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance, Selah. And so the psalmist was thinking how that God then values us. He wants to watch over and protect us. And then another blessing is that God works all things together for our good, Romans 8:28. And in that same chapter, the Father and the Son and God the Holy Spirit are on our side.
Mm-hmm.
All things work together for our good and for God's glory. And we need to understand as we read the scriptures that God is for us. If God be for us, who can be against us? And then the word, the letter yea for the word yea, or we say yes. 2 Corinthians 1:20 tells us that all the promises of God are in Christ. And that means that you and I, then when we trust in Christ, we receive him as our Savior, then we have we're qualified or have access to receiving all the promises of God, the precious promises that God has made will have their fulfillment in the person and work of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the word zeal or zealous, Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 7 is a passage of scripture that talks about what God has planned to do through the Messiah, through Christ. And I'm going to read the last part of that verse, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 7, speaking of the Prince of Peace, that's the Messiah, that's Jesus. When he comes, the Bible tells us that the government will be in his hands. He will be he will establish the government upon the face of the earth, and it will be a government that is righteous, government of peace and plenty. And it says, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. I'm so thankful that what God promised, he intends to fulfill. God purposes to fulfill all the promises that he has made, and this one especially. Jesus is coming again. And he's going to be king over all the earth, and he will establish government, world government in peace. Let me read just a couple of lines from that verse. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. Jesus is coming again. I'm so glad that we have the hope of the coming King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Amen. That's well said. In fact, Dr. Phelps, I don't believe I've ever heard it put that way, the alphabet of thanksgiving. I pray that's a blessing to our listeners as they have listened today. And may I remind our listeners, you can dial 831-0917, 831-0917, and join in the dialogue and discussion. Love to hear from you about your thankfulness. Dr. Phelps, I find that most of us today in America are not thankful for what God has given us. In somehow, some way, there's an attitude, Dr. Phelps, I believe, that the average person, even Christians, think that we need to be thankful only for what we have. In other words, the abundance of what we have. I want to just counter that thought with a blurb from an article, a brief article. The title of the article is, What Should Be the Focus of Christians on Thanksgiving? The answer to that question is this, according to this particular writer, and I think it was very succinctly said. The original Thanksgiving celebration was held by the Pilgrim settlers in Massachusetts during their second winter in America in December 1621. The first winter had killed 44 of the original 102 colonists. At one point, their daily food ration was down to 5 kernels of corn apiece. But then an unexpected trading vessel arrived, swapping them beaver pelts for grain, providing for their severe need. The next summer's crop brought hope, and Governor William Bradford decreed that December the 13th, 1621, be set aside as the day of feasting and prayer to show thanksgiving and gratitude of the colonists that they were still alive. These pilgrims, this article says, these pilgrims seeking religious freedom and opportunity in America gave thanks to God for his provision for them in helping them find 20 acres of cleared land, for the fact that they were no hostile Indians in the area, for their newfound religious freedom and for God's provision of an interpreter to the Indians. Along with the feasting and games involved, the colonists and more than 80 friendly Indians, this article says, continued with prayer and sermons and songs and praise and thanksgiving in their celebration. And their celebration of Thanksgiving lasted 3 full days. And they were praising God and celebrating that there were still some alive, because the previous winter, 44 of them out of the 102 had died. So, ladies and gentlemen, it's not a matter of what as we've wanted or that we have tried to somehow get. I believe that somehow covetousness and a sense of greed fills the heart today. And then if all of those things that the person wants is not supplied, there's a feeling of ingratitude. Well, God didn't give me this, and God didn't give me that. In fact, there are multitudes of people perhaps listening today that you've gotten disenchanted with God, discouraged with God, and decided that you'll just drop out on God because something that you wanted, God did not do. Never will forget, a number of years ago, a dear lady, because her daughter was in the hospital, gravely ill, and she had prayed and prayed and prayed, and she admitted that she said, this is her words, that God had promised her that her daughter would not die. Well, her daughter died. So the mother made the decision, I'll never pray again, I'll never worship again, I'll never read my Bible again, because God did not give me what I asked him to give me. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not what we ask for that we need to praise God for, but what God has done for us that we're not deserving of. We're not deserving of. The scripture says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks. It is a matter that we ought to be thankful for what God has done in every occasion and in everything, whatever the circumstances. Now, that doesn't mean we say, thank you, Lord, for my illness and my sickness. I had a man some years ago that inverted the Thanksgiving in an incorrect way. Thank you for my cough. Thank you for my disease, et cetera, et cetera. That's not the point. We're to be thankful that we do have a modicum of health. We need to be thankful that we have the blessings, the material blessings. We need to be thankful for our friends and family, et cetera. I believe I have a call on the line. Go ahead with the question or comment, please.
I'm glad you're covering Thanksgiving today. We ought to be thankful year-round or another. You know, setting aside a single day is great, but every single day there's life and breath. We ought to be thankful. You know, obviously, we can be very thankful for what the Lord did for us on the cross some 2,000 years ago. I'm very thankful for that. I'm very thankful for the wisdom of the founding fathers in this country. I'm thankful for God's hand of providence and work in the creation of this country some 243 years ago. I'm thankful. You know, you just brought up Governor Thanksgiving proclamation. You know, his words in that bring some clarity. Many times we have the school and the programmers in these schools want to tell them that those if they even cover Thanksgiving, they want to tell the kids that these pilgrims were thankful to the thankful to God Almighty, and it's very clear based on William Bradford's Thanksgiving proclamation. As you go through that, it says, in so much as the Father has given us this year an abundant harvest of Indian corn, wheat, peas, beans, squashes, and garden vegetables, and has made the forest to abound with game and the sea with fish and clams, and in so much as He, God, has protected us from the ravages of the savages, has spared us from pestilence and disease, has granted us freedom to work according to the dictates of our own conscience. That's what he was thankful for. They were thankful for, and we were thankful too. Or another, that clarity needs to get across to all of us as believers and as Americans today. We ought to be thankful to God for these provisions. God for the great country in which we live. We didn't choose to be born here. We didn't choose to have any fathers that we have. We didn't choose all these different things that God has given into our lives. We have chosen to accept, believe, receive, you know, his gift on the cross, and as we ought to be thankful for what he's done completely outside of our knowledge or selection in order to be born into such a free country.
Absolutely. When we go to that, there's a whole litany of things, I believe, Greg, that as you've just articulated so clearly, that we ought to be thankful for. We have a nation that we didn't deserve, but God gave it to us. We have the religious liberties that we don't deserve, but God provided them. We have the abundance that God has given us in America, and it's out of the benevolent, abundant, loving grace of God that we have these things. And many today are not thankful. I believe that we are a nation of people that show ingratitude rather than having an attitude of gratitude. It's ingratitude. But when we look at what the pilgrims had and the Declaration of Thanksgiving by Governor Bradford at that time, we need to look back and, in honest humility, say thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord, for our blessings, and thank you for our family and for our friends and for our health and for even in the trials and the persecutions. Thank you for it. James 1, 2, and 3 says that we need to. Daniel 6, Daniel was thankful for his persecution. Greg, what are the thoughts do you have about Thanksgiving today?
Well, you know, still on the point of the pilgrims, because you know, so much of what we do around Thanksgiving, back in history, you know, many people point to Lincoln's Thanksgiving proclamation, but it steps way further back in time to this original Thanksgiving proclamation at Plymouth. The reason that these folks, these pilgrims, left a land far away, a strange land, to a completely foreign to themselves, and what did they come here for? Many, if not most, came for the right to worship God according to the dictates of their own conscience. That one thing was given thanks for in Plymouth so many years ago, and it was so regarded, so important, so special, modified it in permanent, in a permanent state of governance in our Constitution. That First Amendment, dealing with our first liberties, our, you know, the first 10 amendments being so important. The first of the first of the first was that Congress shall make no law with respect to an establishment of religion, nor prohibit the free exercise thereof. Freedom of religion is a cornerstone to good governance. Freedom of religion, particularly Christianity, is that which undergirds the entire system of law that we have. You know, folks, you know, they many times convolute this notion of religion as all the person there, cults, the occult. All, well, those are religion, little r. It's not true religion that our, if you go to that definition, definitively Christianity. We had argued back and to over denominationalism, you know, different derivatives, if you will, of Christianity. But the founding fathers recognized that the Christian faith that we find in the scripture, that was true religion. Today, there's chaos because we've left original definition. But thank the Lord that those folks that founded this group, and that became a cornerstone. We can be very thankful for the cornerstone of good governance, which comes from God. I just pray that more believers learn their history, that more good folks, good school teachers, good administrators share true American history. I'm convinced if true American history were shared, you could share Jesus Christ based on true American history, because he is beginning to end. We can be so very thankful for that great cornerstone.
Amen. Greg, thank you so much for those insights and for that dialogue and discussion. I pray that it's a challenge and a blessing to our listeners today, that will recognize what we have in Christ and in our Constitution and in the governance that we have in America, a constitutional republic, that we can be thankful for the freedoms, the religious liberties, and the blessings of God in a nation that, quite frankly, is not deserving. I'm looking at a brief article here, ladies and gentlemen, that says, we're to be thankful not only for the things we like, but for the circumstances we don't like. When we purpose to thank God for everything that he allows to come into our lives, we keep bitterness at bay. We cannot be both thankful and bitter at the same time. We do not thank him for evil, but that he is sustaining us through the evil, James 1:12. We don't thank him for harm he did not cause, but we thank him that he gave us strength to endure them, 2 Corinthians 12:9. We thank him for his promise that all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose, Romans 8:28. Dr. Phelps, do you have any further comments to say to add to what Greg is saying, that you and Greg can wrap up this portion of the broadcast today? We've got a few more minutes.
One of the passages of Scripture that comes to my mind is Psalm 100. And that's a passage of Scripture that tells us when we come to God, it ought to be with thanksgiving. Listen to Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We're his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. I think that's one of the places in the Bible where we see the purpose of thanksgiving and praise. It's to honor the Lord, who is so good to us and so benevolent toward us.
Yes, in fact, Dr. Phelps, I'd say that we need to praise God and thank him for his presence and power, even in an even world. And that is articulated in Matthew 28:18-20. We need to give God praise and thanksgiving that he has victory over sin and the struggles that we face in life, 1 Corinthians 15:57-58. We need to praise God and thank him that he provides his supernatural peace for us in Philippians 4:6-7. And that supernatural peace, ladies and gentlemen, comes after we have our prayers and our supplications with thanksgiving brought before the throne of Holy God. And ladies and gentlemen, God's program of faith that he provides us to trust in him, 1 Peter 1:7. And then finally, Dr. Phelps, I believe our people need to understand that God commands thanksgiving. In Colossians 3:15, be ye thankful. Dr. Phelps, we've got about a minute left on the broadcast. Would you take this final minute and challenge our listeners today to be thankful?
One of the things that you find in the Psalms is the teaching that we should bless, thank, and praise the Lord at all times. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth.
And ladies and gentlemen, we pray that you're thankful this Thanksgiving season. Not for just the things you have, but for the things that God wants. We need to continue to praise him and thank him each and every day. I am thankful for his love, for his mercy, for his grace. And I'm thankful for our salvation so full and free. I pray that you'll continue to be thankful each and every day, not just on Thanksgiving Day, but the entire year. Call it a Thanksgiving season. And be ye thankful. Thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you once again on the air as we face the issues.
With Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.